It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with my good friend Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
Not a whole lot, and I hope you're doing well.
I am missing Kyle from LaGrange Barber, and he's actually working right now. Brendan Shapiro is in class, and we have other great contributors and co-hosts. From time to time, we want to say hello to them. They know who they are. Big week. We've got the Pirates taking on Women Mary and the Tribe coming in, and I know it's going to be kind of like a blast in the past. Bubba, we've got the 2001 season. As my understanding is the last time we played them, of course, before I was a Pirate fan. I was born, but I was not. ECU, unfortunately, was not on my radar. I wish it were, but it were not. It was not. In the SoCon days, the Southern Conference days, William & Mary and East Carolina played each other a lot. I know East Carolina, I don't know that it's got numbers, but East Carolina leads the series. I do know that. But I want to remind people, you and I and Kyle and Brendan have said off the air, I hope to God people don't take this team lightly like, oh, it's just William & Mary.
Oh, definitely not. Like you said, this will be, I believe it's the 18th meeting between the programs, but just the third since 1983. In 1983, we took a 40-6 win at Ficklin Stadium as it was then. And then in 2001, like you alluded to, in David Garrard's senior season, we took down the Tribe 38-23, and that was a very competitive ball game. So, as far as this year's matchup is concerned, it's certainly not going to be a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. It's going to be a totally different animal, just like Coach Houston said in his weekly press conference, than what you saw against Gardner-Webb a couple weeks ago. Much different football team. The CAA is kind of, in some people's opinions, and probably most people's opinions, kind of the SEC of the FBS.
Right.
So, very talented football team is coming in. They're 2-1. They were blown out at UVA, but they did have a chance early to be competitive in that game, and then had an 87-yard pick six that really flipped things for them. But they're very talented, and we're certainly going to have to be on our game, and I think that it will probably be a four-quarter football game.
I really believe that. And what is the line now? It was about two touchdowns, right, for East Carolina?
I haven't seen it. I know. I think it opened at about 11 or 11 and a half. And
right.
I have not seen how it's fluctuated over the last couple of days.
For people that know me, I'm not a betting man. I do see the lines and stuff, but I don't know how all that stuff works. I'm just being honest. I do care. Don't get me wrong. I do care, but I don't care to the point of where I've got money on the game and money on the line. I don't have any money to lose. You, Bubba, and I are the – we don't have million-dollar portfolios, right, Bubba, for beach houses, but we do have family and kids and all that kind of stuff, and so that matter. But anyway, I wanted to mention to folks, too, by the way, Bubba, let's make a quick announcement, and then we can go to our first guest. We got a big announcement a couple of days ago. We actually – by the time you're hearing this podcast, we had an idea, and we're starting a new Facebook page.
Yep, so Facebook group, to be technical on you, because, of course, we have the Sports Objective Facebook page,
right.
But we also have a new group in addition to the Sports Objective group that we'll still have, but it's much smaller in scale. But so with the new group, it is called the Pirates Cove, and presented by the Sports Objective, and we're referring to it as the place to talk ECU athletics on Facebook. Again, we just launched this less than 48 hours ago, and we're already approaching 500 members. So if you're on Facebook, definitely, if ECU Athletics is something that interests you, and it probably is, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to our podcast, but definitely check that out.
No doubt about it. And I know that it's going to be very expensive, right, Bubba, for people to there's going to be a fee to join?
Yeah, it's free $99.
It's absolutely free, folks. I just want to make that very clear. We're starting this page. We love East Carolina. Obviously, we do want sponsors for our podcast. So if you'd like to sponsor us, you can very simply, you can email us at esportsobj@gmail.com. esportsobj@gmail.com. If you're interested, obviously, we're going to be reaching out more down the line. But I just want to mention that we are in favor of sponsors for our podcast. But as far as this page group, I got used to saying group, for the Pirates Cove, then I want to let you know that this is a place you can come, you can join. And it's going to be, I had some people already to say on the page, you saw it there, Bubba, inside the group there, that people already making posts about how they feel like this is going to be more of an intelligent, I guess, portion of Pirate Nation. I don't know how to define that or not. But people that are, I guess, well-educated when it comes to knowledge, if you will, about Pirate Athletics.
Yeah, most definitely. Most people have heard of Alan Powell, better known as Pirate Al. That's what he's already part of the group. And then you have several like him who have been very loyal fans down through the years and certainly know their Pirate history as we do. And so it'll be fun to catch up with them and talk about favorite players of all time, favorite games of all times, et cetera. And then you also have a few non-Pirates that will join the fold. Guys, I know Kyle's buddy James, a Southern Miss fan. That's what, obviously, Southern Miss and that program was a nemesis in our side down through the years. Until the last five, in the last five meetings prior to the series, at least temporarily ending, we had won 4 out of 5. But prior to that, they had won something like 26 out of 35 or something. They dominated the series, needless to say, and any Pirate that's been around for 20 or 30 years knows that. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and so if you're on Facebook, definitely join the Pirates Cove.
It's going to be a lot of fun, folks, and again, it's absolutely free. I can say this. I can go out on a limb with the guys behind the scenes as well. We're not going to charge for that ever. I don't plan on that. I know the guys I can comfortably say, knowing how they feel. And so I just want to make that very clear to folks. It's free. And we're talking about, if you want to talk about ECU volleyball, they're on a, we'll talk about that in just a little while. But if you want to talk about how great they're doing, talk about volleyball. If you want to talk about cross country, if you want to talk about swimming, football, basketball, there's 19 sports. This is your platform to do it absolutely free. Bubba, I know that we have a great guest right now. I'm very excited about our relationship with them.
Yeah, that's what Town Bank Tower, of course, made its debut a little less than 2 weeks ago at the Gardner-Webb game. And so that was or is a tremendous facility, and I can't wait to go in and tour it myself. Unfortunately, due to some conflict, I was unable to make it down for media day in the open house with Town Bank Tower, but I'm very excited about that relationship between ECU Athletics and Town Bank. And here recently, we were able to catch up with Greg Steele, the president of Town Bank there in Greenville. And let's go to that interview with Greg right now.
Well, if you're at the game on Saturday night, you got a chance to see the very first game of the 2019 season with Mike Houston. And also, Bubba, we have a very special guest because it was also the very first game that we had at Town Bank Tower.
Absolutely. Very excited to have on with us from Town Bank, the president there in Greenville, and Greg Steele. Greg, welcome into the show.
Thank you so much, Bubba. Glad to be on.
Absolutely. You know, Greg, we were very excited about the commitment that Town Bank made. We wanted to start off a little history of Town Bank, and I looked this afternoon. I know that you guys have been around for 20 years, I guess April of 99. Looks like you've grown a lot over the last 20 years, and we wanted to kind of start the interview there about the history of Town Bank.
Well, sure. Yes, you're exactly right. We were founded in 1999 in that Virginia Beach, Tidewater, Suffolk area. It was a group of 12 group former bankers or bankers who were at larger banks, and Bob Aston really was the lead behind it, and the bank started in his garage, basically the room above his garage, and they all had a great time coming together, and it really was to build a community bank that they felt was not in the Tidewater area, kind of build on relationships and friendships and kind of the caring approach that we have now, where the caring side was a definite kind of business strategy that the bank had, and kind of just a passion for service and helping our communities. And with that, the bank figured that clients, or as town calls them, as members, would gravitate to a bank of with that kind of culture, and it's served itself well for 20 years now.
I know that, Greg, as far as the bank is concerned in Greenville, what made, I guess the question before we even get into about East Carolina, what's so attractive for Town Bank to be in Greenville?
Well, as the bank in the Tidewater area has done so well and had done so well that it basically right now it has the number one market share in that whole metropolitan area, which Hampton Roads, Tidewater, whatever you want to call it. So, and it's interesting that that's the number one market share when you compare it to the big banks. And if you just step back and look at the MSA of that area, it actually is a larger market than the RTP, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area. So it's a substantial population and market. So having a bank of our size, which is about almost $12 billion, have the number one market share in that area speaks a lot for the culture that of that area saw in Town Bank. And after that, the bank saw the North Carolina market is one that was important and had lots of growth to it. So they bought the Bank of Currituck, and that area in the Outer Banks and Dare County and Currituck County and Camden counties now have been part of Town Bank for 7 or 8 years. And that also has now the number one market share. And then most recently, Town Bank bought a bank that was based in Raleigh called Paragon Bank, and that opened up Charlotte, Cary, Raleigh, and they also saw the benefit of Greenville. So we've got a good footprint now in North Carolina, and about 2 months after we opened our office in Greenville, we also established a Greensboro office. So we've got a good area of North Carolina covered now, and we'll be growing in North Carolina as well.
So what was the appeal of East Carolina Athletics to the bank? What was behind the decision to get involved with the university and particularly athletics?
Well, Bob, I'd say that Town Bank as a whole is committed to serving the communities we are. The motto of serving others and enriching lives in the communities we serve is something we stand by. And so we decided that investing in Greenville and the Greenville community just made sense. I mean, that's through East Carolina. That's through other things like our commitment to the Boys and Girls Clubs and other ACEs for Autism, other organizations like that. ECU itself is so important to the Greenville community that we wanted to support the school and not only athletics. We supported the new student center, which is such a great centerpiece of ECU that you all probably have seen. So we supported that as well. And also, if you think about it, East Carolina is really a statewide brand, and as we've kind of expanded our footprint in the state, we want to make sure that we're supporting a university that has, you know, a strong alumni base in Charlotte and Raleigh, the Triad. And if you look outside of North Carolina, the Hampton Roads Tidewater area has the largest alumni base outside of our state. So we just thought it made sense.
Greg, a question I had for you is, since the announcement took place back in the spring that it would be the Town Bank Tower, talk a little bit about that impact that the announcement, not only, I mean, with Pirate Nation, but then just in Eastern North Carolina, and talk about the way it's impacted business for you guys.
It's been great. It really has. It's been very positive. It certainly brought energy and excitement for what we were doing, and people have been very grateful for us stepping up and making that commitment. I would say that it's gotten our name out in the community in a way that probably it would have taken a longer period of time for us to do. And so we just see it as a positive. It's opened doors, obviously. I think the one thing that we wanted this to do was show our commitment to Eastern North Carolina. There's obviously Charlotte, Raleigh in the Triad area. There's a lot of energy and focus on those areas, but I think this really shows our commitment to east of I-95, eastern North Carolina. We have obviously our presence in the Dare County, in the northeastern part of the state. We have Wilmington represented with a mortgage company operation and an insurance arm of the bank. So I just think it shows our commitment to what a part of the state that sometimes doesn't get attention, and we feel strongly about supporting Eastern North Carolina.
Yeah, at one point, go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to make a couple quick points. One is when I started radio in 1996 with Henry Hinton, one of the first things he taught me was do business with the people that do business with you. And it makes perfect sense, I think, for Pirate Nation. I wanted to make this point in an interview to rally behind Town Bank, where you guys made I think it was a $3 million investment for the naming rights of the tower. The second point I want to make is you guys, I was telling Bubba before this interview, you guys were obviously smart businessmen and women to make this investment, because every time we turn around, in the media, for example, you're saying Town Bank Tower, and we mention that all the time, and then members of the community are, yes, did you get a chance to see the Town Bank Tower? So every time you turn around, you're saying, a lot of times you're saying Town Bank.
Yeah, we obviously think that's just tremendous. There's a couple of things that we're doing also. I'm not sure if you were able to come to the first game, but the logo inside and outside the bank and of the tower and all the announcements and plugs. We also, on the premium parking side of the stadium where the tower is an area that has monuments that are for parking for electrical and cable TV hookup for all the tailgaters. And we strategically have on each of those, I think it's 250, Town Bank on it, Town Bank Mortgage, and Town Insurance on them also for, again, some visibility, which we think was great. The passes or the tickets for the tower also have Town Bank obviously referenced on them as well. So, yeah, so that's something we thought about, and we saw that as being a very positive. And at night, when you see drive down Charles Boulevard and look over the stadium and it's Town Bank Tower is all lit up, that doesn't hurt a bit as well. So we appreciate that marketing for sure.
Do you guys have any plans to move into any other markets in Eastern North Carolina right now or in the future?
I think that nothing that is firm and out there. I think that there's certainly discussions about how we expand in the markets we are in North Carolina. There are some additional offices being built right now in Charlotte and discussed in Raleigh. And then again, we'll have another office in Greensboro very shortly. We'll probably do something to be more efficient in Greenville, where Town Insurance and Town Bank can come together and be under one roof. Town Insurance has been in Greenville for 7 or 8 years now, with Jim Clement leading that side of the bank, and they just do a tremendous job, and they have 30 plus folks right now in Town Insurance. So I think eventually we will come together and be in a larger facility that will allow us all to be under the same roof.
Greg, so something I wanted to mention is you talked about how in Eastern North Carolina, I mean, it's kind of a different atmosphere from the standpoint in those other markets you mentioned, like Raleigh-Durham and then Charlotte, Winston-Salem. All those, are, for the most part, you have some sort of professional team. But in Greenville, it's a different animal. In Eastern North Carolina, it's a different animal. You do have minor league baseball in Fayetteville and Kinston. But so when you take a look at things, and this is the type of corporate sponsorship that East Carolina University Athletics has really been seeking for quite some time.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's great support for ECU Athletics and the people of Eastern North Carolina rally around the university. I've been here 20 years almost now, and it's just it's fun. There's passion behind ECU Athletics. I think that are the best in the state. I mean, there's passion from, if you're talking to somebody in Charlotte who's a Pirate, or in Virginia Beach who's a Pirate, I mean, everybody has just the passion. And football is one of the big draws for that passion. But I will say that, you know, obviously baseball is prominent with Coach Godwin's success, and there's passion there. There's just passion in all and following all athletics at ECU, and again, being a part of that and some way helping that program succeed, we're grateful for the opportunity to do that. I think that's what Bob Aston says whenever he is asked about it. He's just grateful that we're able to do this and support the university and the athletic program.
I noticed I was watching the other night on ESPN Plus. I happened to be watching some of the Old Dominion game because they're an opponent later on this year. And I noticed you guys do some sponsorship with ODU. Maybe it's the Town Bake Scoreboard or something like that. Are there any other universities you guys are involved with?
Yes, we do. There is support for Old Dominion, and rightfully so, since they're right there in the backyard of the home. And Christopher Newport, also in the Tidewater area, is also a school that that Town Bank supports. So those are the ones I know of. But I know that Old Dominion and Christopher Newport are two that have the bank has been a sponsor or have been connected to for a number of years.
Right. And Greg, something along the lines of what you were saying earlier, just with the presence of your logo on the top of the tower, and then the other places you referenced, you think about the with the tremendous exposure that East Carolina football has now with the ESPN platforms and also CBS Sports Network, when those television cameras capture the Pirate Walk, I'm sure, and that logo and that brand of Town Bank will be out there. That's just one more way people will be finding out about you guys. So there's so many ways that this will pay dividends for both parties.
We hope so. I mean, I think that the point that you made about, well, ECU has the Pirates supporting Pirates type mentality, and I think that hopefully with our name and our commitment out to ECU, that people will see that, and we want to form those partnerships with those entities and those individuals, and I think we've made a good first step since we opened on February the 19th, our office officially, and so it's been not quite a year yet, but there's been good support for us, and we're grateful for the Greenville community and Pitt County for that support. And outlining counties as well. So I think that we're grateful for everyone's support of us so far, and we're going to do our best to bring the bank's culture of giving and caring and friendships and building that the bank under those guidelines and in culture. We're going to bring that and just continue to try to do that and grow it here in this market and continue our commitment.
Well, Greg, we certainly appreciate your time. This is something that we've wanted to make happen for several weeks, and we're very excited that you were able to come on with us and talk about the relationship between Town Bank and East Carolina University Athletics. And we look forward to having you guys back on the podcast sometime down the road.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Yep. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Thank you very much, Greg. Appreciate you very much for all that you do. Very excited about having Town Bank a part of the ECU family. And, you know, they, again, I've said this on previous podcasts, but they actually are smart by knowing that we're going to say Town Bank a million times, whatever. But I'm looking forward to that. And that $3 million commitment for the program is huge. And I'm really proud of Town Bank. And when we get a chance, I can say myself personally, even if it's a couple hundred dollars, I'm going to put get a checking account. They have three different types. I'm going to get a checking account just to have money in there so that maybe I'll have a second emergency fund. But anyway, appreciate their support, no doubt about it. You know, Bubba, very excited. I guess this will be a nice segue. Two things to talk about in this segment. Now we'll talk about the second part of it. The second part is about how great our Olympic sports are doing. Let's first, though, I wanted to talk about something that came out. I've been really impressed with our athletic director of athletics. That would be John Gilbert. I think that he's been tremendous, as you've heard me say, and Kyle and Bubba on this podcast many times. But from the helm is just fantastic. And I know there's a new one that come out, and you, I know, have it near you. So I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, the newest from the helm, so he addresses a variety of topics as he so often does. And the first thing he talks about is just some of the things that will be going on Saturday around the 6 p.m. football game against William & Mary earlier that afternoon. Spare Change, a band that's from LaGrange, North Carolina. Salute to Kyle.
There you go.
So,
hey!
So maybe Kyle knows Spare Change, but
Kyle, do you have any spare change for me?
Yeah, but Spare Change will be performing behind Town Bank Tower from 2 to 5, and they have a pretty diverse playlist featuring rock, country, beach, and current top 40 hits, so definitely check them out if you're going to be there early tailgating. And so that will be very convenient for those right there in the premium or white lot, as it's known as. But in addition to that, there will also be a closest to the pin contest taking place at Cliffmore Practice Facility, and that will be featuring, I think it's four golfers from the four golf clubs right there in or around the Greenville area, Ironwood, Greenville, Brook Valley, and then also Aiden. So definitely check that out. HV3, Harold Varner III will be on hand, and he'll be hitting a shot for each team. The winning team will get an autographed Wyndham Championships flag signed by HV3, as well as some other prizes. So that's something to definitely check out. You will also have some famous alumni on hand. And then also in this letter from the helm, that's what John Gilbert addresses, a variety of questions posed by Pirate Nation. Questions, concerns, and so forth from opening weekend against Gardner-Webb, and he has the question or comment and then his response to that particular individual. So definitely check that out on ecupirates.com.
And I appreciate you, John Gilbert, and a lot of people I know that want to remind fans, thanks for I'm going to say that for me, for Bubba and Kyle, but and certainly all the Pirate Nation, let's continue to be patient. It's not easy to be patient when we've been losing. Certainly, and not only, it's not even just the football program, it's the whole athletic program is basically being overhauled. So it takes time. It didn't happen overnight that things like this happen, and it won't be overnight that we can change things. So we just need to temper our emotions when it comes to things and just let it, it's going to take time, and The ultimate question is, it would be nice, Bubba, if we knew how long it would take, but we don't. And so appreciate them. They're the leaders. We've got great leadership now, so let's let them do their thing and not be in their way, so to speak. Now that we have the people that we need to grow and to build this program, let's let them take the leash off, so to speak, and let's let them do their thing.
Definitely. I mean, obviously, they're human beings. They're going to make mistakes, and that's one of the things. John Gilbert, I mean, he just came right out and said that. We're going to make mistakes. That's cut and dried, plain and simple. That's just the way it is. But know that right. we want your feedback. We want your input, and it's going to be taken seriously. And so that's all you can ask. I don't know how anyone, not that they don't have complaints as far as certain things at the stadium and with the atmosphere, or not atmosphere, but experience and so forth, because, like I just said, that those things are going to happen. But as far as the big picture and the way John Gilbert, Ryan Robinson, and this regime are operating, I don't see how you could have complaints.
No, that's very true, and I appreciate them so much. I want to mention, too, one of the things that you know when the program is headed, and I say that as a whole, all 19 sports are headed in the right direction when you have the leadership. But also now, I mean, Bubba, I'm so excited about the Olympic sports doing well. When you start off with can we start off with volleyball? I mean, man, you did a nice job a couple weeks ago with Julie Torbett, by the way, if folks want to hear that interview. Was a couple weeks ago. Bubba did a nice job, but I'm just so excited about her. I know it's not her first season, but I think it's her seventh season, but what a nice job she's done turning around the volleyball program.
Yeah, just unbelievable. We've talked about it multiple times on the show as far as 6 wins in 3 seasons.
Yep.
Prior to her taking over, and she very quickly turned it around and changed the culture. And then, like you said, here she is in year 7, and this program is rolling 10 matches into the season, and they are 9-1. Their lone loss was to Wake Forest. So, unless I saw Wake Forest had a very gaudy record themselves. So, no shame in that loss, even though I'm sure we'd love to play the Demon Deacons again. Highlight of the season thus far, at least as far as recognizable wins and things that our fan base can relate to, a win at NC State where we rallied from down 2-0 to win the final 3 sets and take a 3-2 victory over the Wolfpack in Reynolds Coliseum. And since then, we've continued to play well. We've won our last 4 matches, so we've won 5 in a row. And like I said, 9-1 overall. And this weekend, they will be in Boiling Springs, North Carolina, near me. So unfortunately, I won't be able to attend because I'll either be at my son's baseball, depending on when it is, or potentially in Greenville for the football game. But they will be playing at Gardner-Webb Friday night against the Running Bulldogs. And then on Saturday, they will be taking on Alabama A&M. So, and then they also have one more non-conference home match, and that is against Campbell on September 25th, and that is a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So remember, that is free. Get out to Williams Arena, Menchie's Coliseum, and check them out. And they will begin conference play at Cincinnati on September 27th.
Appreciate them, and thank you, Julie. I know C.C. Buford, a future guest on this podcast, the new women's golf coach. How about that? They finished second. It was, out of 15 teams in Minnesota?
Yep, and they had an excellent showing. Like you said, finished second out of 15 or 16 teams up there at Minnesota. And so we're actually going to be catching up with Coach Buford here shortly in the next couple of days, and that will be out probably early next week.
Yeah, they have the big Pirate Invitational. I think it's at Greenville Country Club coming up on Monday and Tuesday, folks. So we need Pirate Nation not only to support our Big Three, let's work hard, all of us. I'm not pointing fingers. I just want to see as many Pirate fans that we can get out there to Greenville Country Club. If you don't know where that is, it's off of Memorial Drive, closer to Memorial Drive and Greenville Boulevard. It's not too far away. It's near Parker's Barbecue, if you know where Parker's is. You know, I love to eat, Bubba, so I tell people that. But it's not too far from Parker's Barbecue up the street. And I love for people to go to Greenville Country Club and let's support the Lady Pirates as they're going to be on the links on Monday and Tuesday. Their only tournament, in my memory serves me right, on their schedule this season is the Pirate Invitational, and it'll be this coming Monday and Tuesday. So make sure you get out and support them. Bubba, I know we had a chance to have another great guest, a guy that is part of a winning tradition, one of the most consistent sports out of the 19 we have on campus.
Yeah, we did. We caught up with Matt Jabs, who I guess is in his third season now as the swimming and diving coach for the men's and women's swimming and diving programs at ECU. And let's go to that interview with Coach Jabs right now.
One of the most successful programs at East Carolina is undoubtedly the men's and women's swimming and diving programs. And now we're very excited to catch up with the third-year head coach of the men's and women's swimming and diving program, Matt Jabs. Coach, welcome into the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Very excited to have you back. I know you guys will be competing here in a couple of weeks, so we wanted to have you on. And so just talk a little bit about, before we talk about this year's team specifically, We know you're someone who has a long history with the Pirates, more than two decades between your time as an athlete and then as an assistant coach and now head coach. So talk a little bit about back in the late 90s or so, your path to ECU.
Absolutely. This has been a special place for me. Recruited out of high school. I'm originally from Connecticut. Had originally committed to another school and Coach Kobe was a great recruiter, outstanding recruiter, and convinced me to come down here instead. Got down here and swam here 96 to 2000. Had a great career here with some really good teammates. I was really fortunate to swim with some great people and to have some great coaches. And just kind of fell into place. Wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do with my career at that point. And had an opportunity my fifth year to kind of help out with the team and kind of float around between coaches and assist on deck. And I just kind of fell in love with it, and kind of the rest is history. Opportunities opened along the way with coaches kind of coming and going throughout the program, and it just kind of worked out well for me.
A couple of indicators or reflections of your ability both in the pool and out. I think your senior year you were a team captain, and then also your junior and senior year you were the most outstanding under Coach Kobe.
That's correct.
So talk a little, before we move to the present, talk a little about what you learned from Coach Kobe, obviously so instrumental, just synonymous with East Carolina swimming and diving for 30-plus years.
Yeah, he's one of a million. Coach Kobe taught me a great deal of things, especially when it comes to what I think is most important in the success of a program, and that's with people. You've got to be surrounded by good people. We've had some really, really good coaches throughout this program. I'm very fortunate to have the staff I have now. Two of them worked for Coach Kobe when I was an assistant as well, and have decided to remain on with me. People is the biggest thing. You got to have good relationships with people. I think also Coach Kobe did a great job of keeping the sport fun. We never try to get too serious. Obviously, winning's important, and we take our job seriously and representing East Carolina very seriously, but you got to have fun while you're doing it. This sport can be brutal at times, and Coach Kobe was key in making sure that things stayed fun. Happy swimmers are fast swimmers, and those are some of the big highlights, and then kind of the ins and outs of just being a coach and the day-to-day of operating a program and recruiting and organization and those sorts of things that I think any mentor hands down to their assistant.
Continuity with the coaching staff has bound to have really played dividends with you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Kate Moore is my associate head coach. This is her 13th year with the program as a coach. She swam here for 4 years as well. There's nothing she can't do. She's our lead recruiter. Does a great job of bringing in quality athletes that fit what we're looking for, both in the pool and in the classroom. Kevin Woodhull-Smith does an outstanding job on deck. He's going into his eighth season with us. Very knowledgeable, gets a lot out of his athletes. They compete at a very, very high level when they swim for him. So super excited about him. And then, we've got two newer coaches. Jesse Lyman, my diving coach, is here for his third season. He's done a great job. He's building up the program kind of the way he wants to see it on the diving side. We're really young on that side. but he's doing a great job down there on the boards. And then we added a new coach this year, Chris DeSaunders, will be in our first year with us, who's had a couple stops along the way coaching-wise, and we're really excited about her. She's got a lot of energy. She's super organized. The kids have been responding really, really well to her, so it's very fortunate to have, you know, good coaches.
Before we talk about your rosters for this year, let's talk a little about the schedule. I know you guys kick things off on the 27th. You'll be in the pool against Old Dominion up in Norfolk. And then you'll also have a road meet against North Carolina Tar Heels in Chapel Hill on October the 4th. So talk about those two meets, and then also the rest of your fall schedule.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. We head up to Old Dominion, Friday night meet. We're going to compete there right before Coach Houston and the football team get up there on Saturday. So it's going to be an ECU-ODU weekend. But they're a good, strong program. Looking forward to kind of getting back into race mode. It's good to have a meet. This is a little earlier than we normally started, but it's good to have an early meet to kind of shake the rust off with. Expecting some good competition up there. It's usually a pretty good meet. And excited to see our youth compete. Haven't had a chance to watch our freshmen race all that much in our team environment anyway. So excited to kind of see the whole team go up there and do their thing. And then, yeah, we come back on October 4th, another Friday night meet, and go to UNC to compete against the Tar Heels. Last year they were here. And this place was slammed. This was one of the most exciting meets we ever had. Our fans came out in force. It was packed. It was loud. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun. They've got a new coach this year, so not exactly sure what to expect going to that place, but they're a quality team. They're always going to be tough competition, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
Tell Pirate Nation when your first home meet will be, and then some of the entire home schedule, when they'll have the opportunity to check you guys out.
Absolutely. Our first home meet is going to be October 12th here in Minges. We're going to swim against William & Mary, conference champions in their conference from last year. That is a meet that is always close. Again, quality kids, quality coaches. And then we have another home meet October 19th. It's kind of a quad meet. We're going to have three or four different schools in here that we're going to be competing against on October 19th. And then we have a big one on October 25th, which is going to be a Friday night meet. It's going to be against UNCW. It's going to be an alumni welcome back weekend as well. We're going to invite all our alumni back for that weekend so that they can come and watch us swim and then, you know, the next day go out, tailgate, and then head over to the football game. So I think it should be a fun and exciting weekend. And then we kind of wrap up our first semester. We got two big meets. We have a Pro Series meet in Greensboro, which we will take some of our top-level kids to that have opportunities to make some national cuts and things like that. And then we finish up at the Georgia Tech Invitational right before Thanksgiving, and that is more of a championship format-style meet where we have trials and finals, and we're going to be competing against schools from the SEC and the ACC and really getting a good idea of kind of where we stack up against those types of programs and where we are in our season and what kind of changes or tweaks we may have to make for the remainder of our season.
Coach, taking a look at your rosters on both the men and the women, we'll start with the women, but both of those rosters have a very interesting mix of in-state and regional talent, but also a load of international talent as both the men and the women have 10-plus international athletes. So talk a little about the women's roster. I know they're loaded with freshmen and sophomores, it appears.
Absolutely, you're dead on there. On the women's side, we're in a little bit of a rebuild mode. We are going to be very, very young. That's exciting. As a staff, we're excited about it. We have a young group of girls that are hungry and looking to kind of set their mark and shape the program for what lies ahead in the future. You know, we brought in 12 freshmen this year on the girls' side. We have 8 sophomores, so again, very young. And then we kind of don't have a junior class and then have 6 seniors. So we're going to rely on those seniors to kind of be the leaders, kind of show these youngsters how it goes. But there's a ton of talent in the freshman and sophomore class, and we're really, really excited about that.
And are there any individuals, obviously, like you said, largely unproven, but are there any individuals that we can that you would like to point out? Or
absolutely. One of our seniors, Catherine Johnson, is one of our sprinters, top sprinters, took some really big steps forward last year, broke through some big-time swimming barriers as far as time achievement and those sorts of things go. Competed really well at the conference championships. We're looking for her to continue that success and kind of finish out her career on top. She's been someone who kind of came in as a freshman, somewhat under the radar, and has really done a great job building herself up into being one of the best in the conference at what she does. So we're excited about her. And then on the kind of the sophomore class, Shannon Stott, one of our flyers, and Mariana Vignoli, one of our distance kids. Those are two youngsters that have some experience, but you know, we're going to rely heavily upon in their events. Will be pretty good for us. And then, like you mentioned, on the youth side of it, we've got three girls of that big class that I think have some pretty big upside. In Adela Valvernova, Laura Vinkova, and Jody Ogle, they come in with times that'll put them in the should put them in the top five in the conference in all of their events. So we're excited about that. And then with the rest of that freshman class, a lot of kids that are going to contribute right away, and we think have a really good upside that down the road maybe fill those shoes that Catherine Johnson kind of did and grow into some of the best in the conference by the time they're juniors and seniors. And then on the diving side, super young, all freshmen and sophomores. So they're developing and learning on the fly and got some good returners there as well and some talented incoming kids.
Transitioning over to the men, I know on the men's roster, you have roughly five athletes per class, with the exception of the sophomore class, where I believe you had 10. So talk a little bit about the men. I know Gustavo Santos, he's someone that was an NCAA qualifier for you a season ago.
That's absolutely right. Our guys team, you know, we're looking to continue to compete at the top of our conference for sure. Very talented group. Gus, as you mentioned, he's the defending hunter fly champion for the last 3 years, and it'd be great to go through his fourth year and go undefeated in that event against championship competition. He was the conference's only representative at the NC2A men's championship last year, which we were pretty pumped about. He's had an outstanding summer. He actually is on his way back from Brazilian Nationals right now. He finished third in one of his events, so we were pretty excited about that. And, you know, with Gus, you know, we kind of know what we're going to get with him. He works hard. He knows what he wants to achieve, and we're excited to have him back for one more season. We also have Jacek Artwitz, who is the defending breaststroke champion for the past two seasons in both the 100 and 200 breaststroke. Has had a great career. Really looking forward for him to continue. Last year was probably his strongest in-season that he's had for us. Did a really, really good job, and then again, won two championship events at the end of the year, and it was instrumental on our medley relays for sure. And then we were returning Merrick Osina, who was the AAC Freshman of the Year, and won the 400 IM for us. And during the dual meet season, we put him in just about every event we have, and he did an outstanding job for us. He can swim just about anything, and if we need him, we plug him in, and we know we got somebody solid in those events. So as far as kind of the top kids, those would kind of be the three I'd highlight. And then, you know, we also have added a guy last year midseason, another breaststroker, Lubomir Epitropov, who ended up finishing 25th at Worlds over the summer, which was pretty impressive. That's, you know, against the entire world. So we were really happy about that. And then I think he's going to make a pretty significant impact within the conference and really challenge Jacek in those breaststroke events for sure, which would probably hopefully give us, you know, the top two breaststrokers in the conference. And then on the young side, we've got, you know, Adam Mahler is a strong butterflyer that we're really excited about, incoming freshman. Has done a great job since he's gotten here. He just keeps getting faster every time he hits the water. I think, you know, he's going to be a force within the conference as well. And then we've got a couple other young kids that are coming in that I think are going to be pretty special, and a couple that may even surprise some people that are going to be under the radar until we kind of get to some bigger meets this year. So, and our divers could be on the men's side the strongest group of divers we've ever had. Brought in a young guy from Mexico, Roy Aguayo, very, very talented diver. Looks for him to kind of be our number one guy. And then kind of Devin Nugent is a returner for us. He's in his junior year, had his best campaign last year, scored a lot of championship points for us, was an all-conference diver. Super excited to have him back. And then Gavrilo Bladen was injured last year. We ended up getting him on the boards for the last month and a half of the season. But he's healthy now. He's 100%. He killed it this summer. He was in here every day getting back to where he needs to be and learning new dives and all those sorts of things. And I really think he's going to kind of surprise a lot of people with what he accomplishes this season.
Coach, I know last season the men finished second in the American Athletic Conference, so tell us a little bit about where we're expected to finish this time around, and then also just tell Pirate Nation, for the ones that may not follow it very closely, at least not yet, what the American Athletic Conference is like in terms of men's and women's swimming and diving.
Absolutely. On the men's side, you know, We're like I said earlier, we're going in there to compete for a championship. I feel like we've got a pretty talented roster. Can go in there and be very successful. You know, Cincinnati, they didn't really lose a whole lot. They're going to come back and they're going to be just as strong. I expect SMU to be very strong as well. It's a pretty good little conference. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room and a whole lot of room for error there. You got to show up and be ready to go on both sides, men's and women's. Now, on the women's side, we have a couple more teams in the mix that have women only, like the University of Houston, who's kind of won the conference the last few years and kind of been the one where everybody's been chasing. And then Tulane has been an up-and-coming, much-improved program last year. So we're definitely in a strong conference. The coaches within the conference are all very experienced, have developed some really good athletes, and there's no shortage of talent coming out of the American, that's for sure.
With that international flavor that you have on both rosters that we referenced earlier, tell folks a little about the recruiting process and how that came to be.
Sure. You know, we're looking for talent. I don't really don't get concerned with where they come from. As long as you're fast or talented on the diving boards, we're here to compete and the best people that we can get into our program, that's who we're going after. As I mentioned earlier, Kate Moore is our recruiting coordinator and handles almost all of the international recruiting with very few exceptions. She spends a lot of time on Skype calls. She spends a lot of time on the phone. She has taken some international trips and kind of established some roots for us. And a lot of it is word of mouth also. You know, we get one athlete from a team or a country, and they know a couple more athletes who are looking to come over here, and throughout the recruiting process with an international student, if there's some familiarity there, whether they already know somebody here or they know of somebody here, it makes them a little bit more comfortable being willing to, you know, come across the world to go to school in a new place, in a new environment. And then, you know, from the domestic side, you know, we're all over the country too. We have, you know, just as many, if not more, of the domestic kids coming in that are super talented and do what they do and help our team win and continue to succeed and roll forward. So, you know, we just divide our recruiting amongst all the staff. Everybody takes a group of kids and starts forming that relationship and gets them in on recruiting visits and talks to coaches and watches them swim at meets and those sorts of things. And that's kind of how it rolls.
Last question I have for you, Coach. With the season getting cranked up, if there's some members of Pirate Nation that have never, as you know, we're a very passionate bunch, and I know you referenced last year in other interviews that I've heard with you as well, tremendous atmosphere that can exist at Minji's Natatorium. So tell folks as far as what they can expect if they come to a swim meet and what the atmosphere is like, and give them your sales pitch, so to speak.
Absolutely. I've traveled the country to a lot of different places, been to a lot of swim meets. There is no pool in the country that hosts a home college meet like ours. We are packed It is a packed house for almost every single meet. I had meets last year where people called me afterwards and said they could not get in the door. So if you're planning on coming out, certainly plan to get here a little early. But when you get here, if you've never been here before, you can expect a lot of energy. That's one thing that I pride our program on, is that we have a lot of energy with what we do. We feed off crowd's energy. So if you're coming, don't plan on being quiet. We want you loud and proud and screaming for the Pirates. It's just a lot of fun. There's pretty much one heat of each race. It's head-to-head racing. It goes quick. And anything we can gain from the crowd and the atmosphere in here, we're all for it. So would love to have this place packed for every home meet we have this year and invite everybody to come out and check it out for at least a little bit.
Absolutely. I know I've had the opportunity to catch bits and pieces of meets throughout the years, going back to Coach Kobe's tenure, and it is a lot of fun, no doubt. Coach, we really appreciate your time, and we'd love to have you back on down the road. Best of luck to you and the Pirates this season, and continued success.
Awesome. Anytime, and I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Absolutely. Pirate Nation, that is ECU's men and women swimming and diving coach, Matt Jabs.
Appreciate Coach Jabs. In fact, his last interview, Bubba, was one of the most listened to podcasts we've ever had. I know. Did you say it scared him when he heard the results, the number of listens that we had on that podcast? But we had a ton of people listen to that podcast, and hopefully it'll be the same time. I'm sure it will, because Coach is awesome, and I enjoy listening to him. You know, I was on the swim team for a year, and it's one of the hardest sports that I've ever played in my life. It was very demanding, as you can imagine, very challenging. When we started, I'll never forget, it was an outdoor pool in April, and it was a summer league in Durham when I was growing up. And when we literally got in the pool the very first day in April, it was 54 degrees in the water temperature. And let me just say that that's a great way to get people to do laps, because if you were out of breath and you stopped, it was so cold that you had to keep on swimming to pretty much stay warm. If not, it was ridiculous. So Coach Jabs is awesome, and definitely love to have him on the podcast and all our coaches. I think this is probably the best time I've ever seen from every single sport we have. I can't see a weakest link, so to speak, as far as coaches. Can you, Bubba? I mean, you've been following this
for a long time. Yeah, we have a tremendous staff, for sure. Some excellent head coaches. And one we haven't talked about on this podcast is Jason Hamilton, women's soccer. We did have him on within the last couple weeks, so you can go back and check that out. But after a little bit of a slow start, they have won three out of their last four matches, and their most recent match was a victory at Charlotte, 1-0 win over the 49ers on Sunday. And I planned on going, but unfortunately, some sickness in the family and some my sister had a collapsed lung, so of course I went to see her in the hospital and wasn't able to make it out to Charlotte. But it's great to see them get a victory, and even their record, they're 3-3-1 now. So and that is good to see, and then hopefully they'll post another winning season just like they did a season ago.
No doubt about it. Appreciate Coach Hamilton. He actually, as he told us before, when I had him on for this is his second season, so he's taking over a program, doing heck of a job recruiting, from what I understand. I mean, I'm not a soccer expert, and I'm not an expert on recruiting, but I understand his recruiting is second to none, and this just makes me, he's young, this makes me very excited to see that that all our sports, I think there's many in Pirate Nation, there might be some that only care about football or a certain sport, but I think if you ask most of Pirate Nation, they would tell you that they want to be winning at every single sport. You know what I mean? Like, there's some places you go and they only have pretty much one sport, and they're like a UConn.
Right.
No offense,
UConn,
but
absolutely. I mean, I don't recall the exact quote, but there was a quote from the famous Leo Jenkins, and he was just basically saying, if you want to do it, you want to do it the best you possibly can. So that's something that always comes to mind, whether it's all the programs at East Carolina Fields or whatever, things that are in my life that are not related to East Carolina. But that's something I always try to keep in mind. If you kind of like Keith LeClaire said, if you put your name on something, you want it to be your best work. So yeah, no doubt we want to be as good as we can be, and sure, people are going to flock to the things that interest them. That's only natural. But yeah, and we have plenty of Pirates who may not be that interested in that particular sport in general outside of East Carolina, but they follow it because it's the Pirates. So,
right.
And that's kind of the way I am in certain sports. I may not watch it at all outside of East Carolina athletics, but I'll follow it and keep up with it some, and even go to those events because it's the Pirates.
No question about it, and that's what we need is people to rally behind our leaders, continue to do that. Now we have what we want, so now it's time to come together. Give more money to the Pirate Club. I was going to tell you guys, I'm really excited. I found out that I've been buying season tickets, you know, for football since 2012. I kind of was lucky for many years. I would have already had season tickets, but I was spoiled by being a member of the media. So many, many years I had from right after graduation, probably out of 15-year span, I had access to, I'll just be honest, media tickets. And so now, once that luck ran out, so to speak, it forced me to be a season ticket holder in some respects, too. And then there was another guy on a radio show I heard one time who was talking bad about a previous athletic director before would be Terry Holland, and I was upset about it. I said, you know what? I've got to put my money where my mouth is. I rejoined the Pirate Club after a number of years of not being a Pirate Club member. And so we were trying to, I was saying if I, and that was before we even did this podcast, what was that, 7 years ago? So I worked really hard to be a Pirate Club member. And I actually found out, I think I'm about middle of the pack right now as far as Pirate Club priority. I found that out yesterday. I was really shocked. So got a lot of work to do to catch up with the Rosenbaums, but.
Right. Yeah. Right. Maybe my dad, not me. I've certainly been part of the Pirate Club and buying season tickets for a while now, but yeah, as a teacher and a coach, the income, don't get me wrong, I enjoy what I do, but we obviously
right.
do not do it for the money. So
no.
So I certainly give what I can give, but yeah, I'm not ever going to be a high ranking Pirate Club member, and that's okay. And I'll continue to do what I can do through the years.
It was around, I think there's 6,000 members. I was like 3,000. I was like, that's so me. Like, I'm such an average guy. when he said that, when I found out. But anyway, I just thought that was pretty cool. And I want to remind folks, by the way, Bubba, speaking of sports, basketball, men's and women's tickets are on sale. Call 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Or if you're more, I love to do it the old-fashioned way and talk to people. But if you want to go online, it's ecupirates.com. You can click on tickets and you can get your tickets that way. But we need to show support for Joe Dooley and Kim McNeil. Very excited about the upcoming season. And I know pretty soon, Bubba, in the next few weeks, I know you and I have talked about we'll have some basketball guests on as we get ready for the season. I can't believe the season's getting ready to start. It feels like it's maybe June or July. November, it's just around the corner, my friend.
Absolutely. Look forward to having Coach Dooley, Coach McNeil, both of them back, but then also hopefully some members of their staff. Maybe Coach McNeil's husband and Corey.
That would be great.
Who's on the staff. Maybe we'll have him on. We'd love to have Coach Rock or Rafael Chiles. Love to have them on. And then we'll also plan on having on Cy Seymour, who is, of course, a longtime color analyst on the basketball broadcast. But he's also very involved in the Pirate Club down in, I guess it's Craven County. And then he certainly supports the Pirates, kind of like we were talking a moment ago, no matter what the sport.
No question about it. And I want to mention, too, we're going to try to have Corey Glore, maybe Coach Overton, maybe if we can get Coach Godwin as fall baseball. There's a couple of games. Who is the – Is it at Virginia this year? I can't remember. Who do we have?
At Virginia, and then I want to say instead of last year, it was Virginia and Pitt Community College. But this year, it is not Pitt Community College. It's at Virginia, and I want to say it's Liberty. I may be mistaken, but I want to say it's Liberty Flames.
All right, that's very cool. Love that university, and I love what they're doing there. Bubba, I know that got a lot of great podcasts coming up. We got another great, before we go, I know that we're both tight on time, but I wanted to mention we had a chance to have a fantastic guest on, and she's going to be on our very next podcast. Can't wait to talk, have her on.
Absolutely. One of the top female track and field athletes at East Carolina is Tynita Butts. She was an All-American every single season, which is just unbelievable. It's unheard of. And so she's certainly in rare company, and she is still doing what she does, high jumping. And she's just a tremendous high jumper, and she's so good that she's representing Team USA at the World Championships in Qatar here in a little over a week. So definitely check out this interview. I was very excited to be joined. Dave and I were joined by Terry Gallagher, who, of course, is football letter winner at ECU, but he had also coached track in the state of Georgia in the high school ranks for nearly three decades. So we asked him to take part in the interview, and we had an excellent chat right around an hour with Tynita Butts.
As she was fantastic. We knew that she was a tremendous athlete, but even more person, a great person, what a personality, tremendous, and look forward to that. I know, Bubba, I want to remind folks to join and sign up, you can. The Sports Objective, it's our new page. It's called the Pirates Cove, presented by the Sports Objective. Find it on Facebook, absolutely free. Want to remind friends about that and our great fans of Pirate Nation. Hey, by the way, I've been checking around with Dana at Dana's Global Travel for our cruise. Looks like everything is okay in Nassau. We're still going to keep our cruise next July, the 16th through the 20th. And so we'll give you that information. We'll keep have her back on soon to get people signed up, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have see if we can have former Pirate players on the cruise and have them come with us, and just have a great, I mean, a Pirate should be on a Pirate ship, right, Bubba?
Oh, definitely. I know it will be a good time, and it's great to hear that people are really responding.
It really is. Appreciate that very much. Well, Bubba, do you have any final thoughts before we go?
No, I don't. Just we'll have our Pirate preview coming up. Of course, our next podcast, like we just said, will be the conversation with Tynita Butts, one of the best to ever wear the purple and gold in terms of track and field. So after that podcast, we'll have our Pirate preview where we'll catch up with the longtime play-by-play voice of Jay Colley. He's actually done it longer for the green and gold there at William & Mary than Jeff Charles has for the Pirates. So that's quite an accomplishment. Tremendous longevity. So we'll have him on, and then we'll probably also have a Pirate guest as we take a look at this weekend's game between the Pirates and the Tribe.
All right, sounds good. We got a lot of content coming out this week, but that's what it sometimes we have more than others, but when we have a chance to get it out to you, of course we're going to do that. And of course, any breaking news at once, I want to remind you too to join our Facebook. You can actually like our Facebook page. And you can follow us on Twitter at Richmond, that's me, sorry about that, at the Sports OBJ. Again, at the Sports OBJ. You can go on Instagram. It's very simple, at the Sports Objective, and you pretty much find us anywhere when it comes to that. Anywhere that you can hear a podcast, you can hear this great, we work really hard with distribution of the show. So do that. Bubba, thank you, man, so much. Appreciate your time, and look forward to the next time. Until next time, this is Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.